Bibles, turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. I'm going to be talking about pastors. Now, why would God want me to preach to y'all about pastors? I don't know. Maybe God's fixing to call somebody in here to preach. I don't know. But that's what I want to talk about. Being a pastor is not easy. In fact, I've done a lot of different things. I've farmed, cropped sand lugs, I've put up siding, I've worked in a grocery store, I've done a lot of different things. And the hardest thing I've ever had to do is pastor a church. It's the most joyful thing I've ever had to do, but it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I heard about a man went running to his preacher. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I think my wife is trying to poison me." And the preacher said, "No, no, I know your wife comes to church. She sits back there quiet and meek, and I just can't believe that." The preacher said, "Your mind's just playing tricks on you." He said, "Y'all had a fuss, and you both said something that you didn't really mean." He said, "You just stay right here. I'm going to get my wife, and we're going to go see your wife, and I'm going to straighten this thing out. Won't take no time at all." He said, "I'll be back in an hour. You just sit right here." So he took his wife, and the preacher went to see the woman, and the man waited. And he waited an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours he waited. Finally, he heard the preacher coming back, and the preacher came in, and he looked like he was beat down. And the man said, "Preacher," said, "have you been talking to my wife this whole time?" And the preacher said, no, "she's been talking to me." And he said, the man said, "Preacher, what should I do?" He said, "Eat the poison." Eat the poison. So, anyway, that preacher's job's not easy. But with that said, I want to share this with you tonight. Look with me in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, and we're going to begin with verse 8. And the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, Lord, how we thank you and praise you. That God, even Lord, with so many of our folk gone, that Lord, you are in our midst. You're right here, right with us. And God, you know what we need. You know what I need. And I know, Father, as I preach this, that God, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. I pray, Father, that God, you'll just take control. And I pray, Lord, that Jesus will be uplifted. I pray, Father, that God, as you search our hearts, that God, Lord, you'll see our need. God, that you'll meet those needs in thy abundance. Father, I pray you'll have your way. Glorify your Son. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we do pray. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on the value of a good pastor. But I want you to understand that I am not saying I am a good pastor. You'll have to be the judge of that, you and Almighty God. But this is the title of my message, The Value of a Good Pastor in Times Like These. Beloved, for you to understand this message tonight, I need to point out the parallels between Israel and the church. In your New Testament, when you see the word church, beloved, you are looking at the Greek word ecclesia. And it means, beloved, a called out assembly. And that's what the church is, a called out assembly. Folks, in the Old Testament, God's called out assembly was not people called from every nation born again into one body. But, beloved, in the Old Testament, God's called out assembly was a nation. It was the nation of Israel. You see, God chose them. God called them, beloved. God called them to be His people. God gave birth to the nation of Israel. Just like as God gave birth to us in that second birth. Amen? Being born again. Now, God put shepherds over His people in the Old Testament. Under shepherds, beloved, if you will. And they were to take care and watch over the people of God. I mean, like a shepherd watches over his sheep. Now, when Jesus came and He went to that cross and died and rose again, God set Israel aside for a while. And beloved, God began a new thing. He began to call out a new assembly for His name's sake. He called out the ecclesia, beloved, the church. And like Israel in the Old Testament, beloved, they would be God's people, chosen by God, born of God, the spirit, beloved, the sheep of His pasture. And once again, God put over His people, the church, shepherds, under shepherds. Christ being, beloved, the ultimate good shepherd. And they too are to look after, watch over the flock of God. And we call them pastors. Pastors. Now, with that said, I want to share with you this evening, beloved, the value of a good pastor in times like these. Folks, as we read this scripture, Israel, God's called out assembly, beloved, were going through a dark, dark time. I mean, probably the darkest time, beloved, in their history up to that point. You see, they had gone astray. They had turned to idols, beloved, and God's judgment, beloved, had fallen upon His own people. God had sent Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to conquer and to subdue, beloved, the nation of Judah. And oh, listen, many of them had been killed by the sword. The temple, Solomon's temple, beloved, that magnificent temple had been torn down, and multitudes had been taken captive to Babylon, taken in chains. And like so many of us, When bad things happen, the people, beloved, were asking, why? Why is God allowing this to happen to us? Why did God allow this to happen to us? Well, God, through Ezekiel, and you ought to read the book of Ezekiel. God, through Ezekiel, tells them exactly why. And in Ezekiel 34, beloved, God hits on a paramount reason. He says in a nutshell, the bad shepherds. It's the bad shepherds. One of the reasons you, Israel, are suffering so is the bad shepherds that you have. That you have. Now, we haven't seen anything, beloved, in America yet to compare with what Judah went through. But I can tell you, beloved, what we are seeing. We are seeing church after church closed down. Closed down. We're seeing, beloved, many of our national leaders proclaiming, beloved, that the church is non-essential. That it Walmart is essential and Lowe's is essential and the abortion clinics are essential and even the pot houses are essential, but the church is not essential, they're saying. We're seeing, beloved, people, beloved, who taught Sunday school, people, beloved, who held offices in the church, people, beloved, who preached the gospel, falling away from the faith. Every week I see it. And I'm talking about, beloved, big names falling away from the faith. From the faith. And at the same time, we're seeing the suicide rates climb. And we're seeing, beloved, families breaking up. And we're seeing depression, beloved, running rampant. And drug and alcohol abuse, beloved, skyrocketing. And a lot of this is among, beloved, the called out assembly, the church. The church. The church. And I believe with all my heart that the great shepherd Jesus looks down from heaven and he says, oh, so many bad shepherds. What are they doing to my flock? What are they doing to my flock? Folks, I know that 2020 has been a disaster of a year. We have had a pandemic. We have had 200,000, or more than 200,000 have died. So they tell us. People, beloved, are afraid. People, beloved, have been lied to. We've been lied to by our politicians and by our scientists and by the news media to the point that we don't know what to believe anymore. And I know the church has been maligned. But that's why in times like these, the value of a good pastor, beloved, a good under-shepherd is beyond measure. Is beyond measure. And let me say, many times, beloved, that makes or breaks a church. What is a good pastor? Well, he's the opposite of a bad pastor, amen? And we just saw what a bad pastor, what he did and what he was and what they were doing. Folks, a good pastor, listen, feeds his sheep. Feeds his sheep. Look at verse 2 in this chapter. Look at what it says. It says, the Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Look at verse 3. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. A bad shepherd, beloved, doesn't feed the flock. We look at these shepherds, and they were looking after themselves. They were eating the fat, beloved. They were killing the fed, the Bible says. They were not feeding the sheep. See, the ministry had become merchandise to them. It wasn't about the flock to them, beloved. It was about their own profit. It was about themselves, what they could get out of it. One of my pet peeves for the last decade has been so-called shepherds entering the ministry, beloved, entering for wealth or for gain or for position or for fame. You don't think that happens? You don't think they're out there? Years ago, when Martha was working at Merck, there was a young man she met. She came home and told me about him. He found out she was a pastor's wife, and he went up to her, made a point, and said, I'm going to school for the ministry. He was going to up there to Southeastern Wake Forest. He said, I'm going to school for the ministry. And Martha asked him a question. She said, well, why do you want to be a preacher? Why do you want to be a pastor? And she was expecting him to say, well, you know, God's calling me to be one. But he didn't say that. It'd have been nice if he'd have said, well, I want to be a pastor because I want to feed the flock of Christ. But he didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, because my pastor makes $100,000 a year and works 3 hours a week. And that's why he was going to school, to be a pastor. To be a pastor. Beloved, let me tell you, there's a lot of them out there. By the way, y'all know that wasn't a Free Will Baptist. His preacher wasn't Free Will Baptist because he was making $100,000 a year. Okay. Several years ago, young preacher, he was about to start a work in a city. And I went to see him. I knew him. And I wanted to encourage him. I wanted to tell him I was praying for him. I wanted to tell him I was helping. I was there if he needed some help. But before I could say a word, this is what he said to me. He said, I'm going to build the biggest church in this city. He said, my sermons are going to be published in the Sword of the Lord. I went back to Martha. I told Martha, I said, he'll never make it. He'll do nothing because his motives were all wrong. All wrong. Folks, that work stayed open. In 6 months, the doors were closed. It was closed. And that's not the only one I could talk about. Y'all have any idea how many churches are looking pastors in Free Will Baptist? In the original Free Will Baptist, there are 23 churches. Looking pastors. I looked it up. They got 22. I'm not talking about associate pastors. I'm talking about pastors. They got 22, but there was one that I know is looking a pastor, and it wasn't even listed. At least 23 churches are looking pastors. In the national, 9 are looking pastors in North Carolina. That's in North Carolina. 9. And it's not because there aren't pastors available, beloved. It's not because there aren't pastors looking churches. It's because so many, especially of these young guys who are coming up, they don't want a small church. They don't want a church where they can go in and roll their sleeves up and work and build that church by the power of God. Beloved, they're not looking that. They're looking something big. They're looking something they can step in and just... you know, just eat the fat. Just eat the fat. Just eat the fat. Beloved, with all that's going on, listen, in this world, in our nation, churches need good shepherds, good pastors. Who are God called, beloved? Who will put the work of Christ above themselves? Who will feed the flock? Who will feed the flock? And I thank God for every good pastor who feeds his flock. Who feeds his flock. Y'all know pastors supposed to feed the flock? That means tomorrow morning at breakfast, y'all all come to my house. Amen? I'm just glad to see y'all. I think it's the first time I've seen y'all smile. Even my joke didn't go over good a while ago. No, that's not what it's talking about, is it? I mean, what does feeding the flock mean? It means preaching and teaching the Word of God. The Word of God. Not some social gospel like so many churches do. Not some emotional gibberish like, beloved, so many pastors do, you know, to build folks up emotionally. But not some philosophical garbage, beloved, but the pure word of God, the infallible, inerrant word of God. Of God. It's preaching and teaching, beloved, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. That Christ came down, beloved, born of a virgin, took a body of flesh and went to that cross and gave himself for you and for me, that you and I might have eternal life. He died and bore our sin debt and rose again the third day. Oh, let me tell you. We need some preachers who'll preach, beloved, the blood that cleanses and the grace that saves and the faith that sustains and the relationship with Jesus that strengthens and gladdens the heart. It's preaching and teaching, beloved, the doctrines of God, not of men. The truth of God, not the lies of so-called science. Folks, there's enough lies being told inside and outside the church. I'm telling you, y'all know it's election year, and brother, I am so sick of the lies, I don't know what to do. I'll be glad when this mess is over and gone. I'll be so glad. People need truth. They need truth. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're longing for. And the truth, beloved, is found right here in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Truth, how about how to be a husband or how to be a wife, or how to raise your children, or how to treat others, beloved, or how, beloved, to find heaven and miss hell, how to live and how to die, beloved, how to serve God and glorify Him. It's all right here in God's Word. All you need, beloved, to be right and do right and stand before God unashamed is right here. Even, beloved, how to cope with troubles and trials and sorrows. And, beloved, if ever we needed that, it's today in these days we're living in. The shepherd, the pastor, is to feed the flock. Listen to me. All the Word of God. All the Word of God. I know y'all know this. 30% of our Bible almost is prophecy. I think the actual thing is like 27, between 27 and 28% of our Bible is prophecy. Yet, beloved, so many pastors never, beloved, teach or preach on prophecy. The vast majority of churches do not teach or preach on prophecy. When I got saved, thank God, the man that led me to the Lord, he loved Bible prophecy, and he taught me about the rapture. And man, I want you to know that excited me so much. Filled my heart so, brother, I couldn't contain it. I wanted to go out and win folks before Jesus come. I wanted to go out and tell people. And beloved, you may say, preacher, shouldn't he have taught you or gave you a little bit more grounding before he shared the rapture with you? No. Paul was at Thessalonica for just a few weeks, but beloved, he taught them the rapture. He taught them the rapture. When I entered the ministry, my first pastorate, that first year, I got sick one week. I was new. I didn't know who to call or what to do. And several people told me about a man, a preacher, that I could get to preach for me because I was sick. And the man had a big name in the denomination. He was up and coming in original Free Will Baptist. And I called him. He didn't have a church, but he had a position in Free Will Baptist. And he came and preached for me. And the next week I went back to church, and brother, there was about three or four people come running to me. of my people. And they said, Preacher, you know what that man did in the pulpit? And I said, What? I mean, I thought the man had gotten the pulpit with his shirt off or something. They said, Preacher, you'll never believe what he did in the pulpit. I said, what did he do? They said, he got up there, held up that Bible, and said the book of Revelation ought to be torn out of the Bible. And I had to apologize to my people for getting that man to come and preach. Folks, all, listen to me, all the book is the Word of God. Every jot and every tittle. And preachers can ignore it. They can refuse to preach it and teach it. But beloved, listen, they can tear it out of their Bible if they want to. But it don't change a thing, because God's Word is settled in heaven, and it all will come to pass. It all will come to pass. People that have been in the church for years are seeing things today that they never thought they would ever see. Can you say amen to that? They're seeing things they thought they'd never see. And beloved, listen, they're scared. A lot of them are scared. See, they are unprepared for what they're seeing because they haven't been taught prophecy. They're seeing, beloved, a move toward globalism. I mean, a one world alliance. And beloved, this has been going on for a long time, but now it's out in the open. And beloved, they're seeing this. Listen to me. It's prophecy. Amen? It's prophecy. They're seeing a whole world dance to the tune of one organization. The World Health Organization. Beloved, that has not happened since the Tower of Babel. That the whole world danced to the tune of one organization. But it's happening. It's happening. They're seeing socialism trying to take over in America. Socialism that has destroyed so many countries, beloved. They're seeing lawlessness on the rise. I mean, cities burning and people being killed in the street or hurt in the street. And beloved, the mayors and the governors are doing nothing. Lawlessness. They're seeing, beloved, wax worse and worse on every side. Y'all hear about the priest? Any of you hear about this guy in Louisiana? Brother, he was having sex with two women on the altar and filming it. Evil waxing worse and worse. By the way, I don't know what they call them. And it was, I think it was, they're Catholic. And I don't know what his higher up was called. But beloved, he said, burn the altar. Burn it. Evil waxing worse and worse. Doctrines of devils flood the airways. Everything, beloved, from replacement theology to grave soaking. And it's all, beloved, setting the stage for the tribulation and the second coming of Christ. But they don't know about the tribulation. They don't know about the second coming. They don't know, beloved, that, and they are afraid of all that they see. No wonder they're scattering. Because if the shepherd, the pastor, had been a good pastor and fed the flock, they would know that all the bad we're seeing, beloved, means that the rapture is coming soon, amen? And they wouldn't be afraid. They'd be lifting up their head and rejoicing because our redemption draweth nigh. Good pastor feeds his flock the Word of God, all the Word of God. A good pastor, I'm going to put two together for the sake of time. A good pastor leads the sheep and cares for the sheep. Look at verses 4 through 6 in this chapter. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they are scattered because there is no shepherd. And they become meat to the beast of the field when they are scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. A good pastor is a leader. A leader. Now, he doesn't lead the flock where he wants them to go. Not if he's a good pastor. Beloved, he leads them where the ultimate shepherd, Jesus, wants them to go. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the ultimate good shepherd, beloved. So, what does the good pastor do to lead? Beloved, he prays and he fasts. And beloved, he searches the Word of God, and he listens to the Holy Ghost that lives within him, beloved, and he obeys the Holy Ghost. He seeks God's will and God's path, beloved, for the flock. For the flock. And if he does that, he is leading that flock ever closer to Christ. He's leading them, beloved, to stronger faith and to deeper relationship with Jesus and to greater peace and joy and to a more spiritual life and all that is so pleasing to God. To God. See, he knows. He knows there are places of danger that the flock doesn't need to go. He knows there are snares. He knows there are cliffs. He knows there are ravines, beloved. The lair of the wolves and the lion. He knows that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he leads the sheep in the way that they should go, beloved, avoiding the pitfalls and skirting the lion's den and keeping them, beloved, on that straight and narrow, keeping them unified together. Together. And he does this. He does this because, like the great shepherd, he loves the sheep. He loves his sheep. He loves his sheep. He loves his sheep. Like the great shepherd, he gladly sacrificed himself and everything he has for the sheep. For the sheep. They sleep and he works and prays. They, beloved, rest and he patrols. They wander and he seeks after. He goes without rest, without sleep, sacrificing for the sheep. For the sheep. And if one of the sheep gets injured or hurt or diseased or mauled by the lion, beloved, he binds them up and ministers to their wounds. That, friend, that, beloved, is the good pastor. But the sheep have to follow. They have to follow. Now, all of this brings up a question. And it's a question, buddy, I don't have the answer to. Maybe you do. If you do, share it with me after the service. Maybe you folks got the answer. I see. Beloved, Satan this year has wreaked havoc on the churches. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Boy, that's we. Y'all want to go home? We'll go home. Amen? He's wreaked havoc on the church, on churches. I see in my mind's eye, beloved, the sheep being scattered. More and more churches are closing. And as I told y'all the other day, many of them will not open up anymore. I see a field of bloody carcasses, a leg over here, a head over there, and blood everywhere, dead and dying and injured, sheep everywhere, and it's the flock of Christ. It's the flock of Christ. Somebody says, preacher, it's the devil. He's attacking the church. Folks, listen to me. The devil has always attacked the church. You go to the book of Acts, beloved, it didn't take long. Here he came with Ananias and Sapphira. He's always attacked the church. He attacked the church, beloved, with persecution under Nero and under Domitian and under Hadrian. And the church, instead of being hurt, beloved, flourished and grew. And grew. Throughout the church age, the lion has attacked and attacked and attacked and kept, but the church has kept on. Many died at the hands of Rome, beloved, but the church kept on. A burning light in a darkened world. The Caesars could not destroy it. Beloved, the popes could not destroy it. German rationalism could not destroy it. The liberals could not destroy it. And oh, they have tried and tried and tried. But suddenly, a pandemic comes, covers the world, and political leaders arise and ignoring, beloved, the rights, the God-given right that God has given us to worship in churches. Falling apart. Falling apart. And I'm not talking about liberal churches. I'm talking about churches, beloved, that say they believe the Word of God. I know it's the devil. But why is it happening now? Why? Is it because Christians, beloved, aren't following? Or is it because pastors aren't leading and aren't concerned about caring for the flock? Which is it? Or is it both? Is it both? That's what happened in Judah. The shepherds, beloved, weren't feeding the sheep. They weren't leading and caring for the flock. The Bible tells us that. Beloved, they didn't lead the flock. They didn't care, beloved, for the flock and minister to the flock. And beloved, the sheep were scattered and wounded and destroyed. But what's happening today? I'm not sure. But there's a lesson to be learned here, folks. A good pastor feeds and leads and cares for the flock. And beloved, the sheep need to follow. They need to follow. Because not to do either one is fatal to the sheep, to the flock. You may say, well, I'm not going to follow my pastor because he's just too dumb. You can say that. And I'll be the first one to say amen. He is dumb. But folks, whether we like it or not, it's the pastor's place to lead and care for the flock. And beloved, if he fails to do that, he will give an account to God for it. And it is our place, it's the sheep place, beloved, to follow his lead as God's appointed leader. And beloved, the sheep will give an account as to how they lead, how they follow. How they follow. But as I look at the churches that are coming through these attacks today, folks, it's the ones where the pastor leads and cares about the sheep, and it's the ones, beloved, who are following as Christ commands. They're the ones that are going through this. They're the ones. I'm telling you, the value of a good pastor in times like these is beyond measure. It's beyond measure. You know what you ought to do for your pastor? I'm going to get personal now. You ought to pray for him. You ought to pray with and for him. Because, beloved, I don't care whether you're a member here or not, you ought to pray for and with your pastor. Because the burdens that he carries, you would not believe. You would not believe. Buddy knows what I'm talking about. You would not believe. You wouldn't believe the nights he's out. He cries because of the burdens that he has to bear. This past year has been the hardest year of my ministry. Hardest one. I have worked harder and longer than I ever have in all these, how many years did I tell you, 50 years? 40 years, 40 some years. And the burdens have been just unbelievable. Because, and listen, we missed one Sunday at the beginning, and we were planning on having it that Sunday. Am I telling this right, Charles? And we were planning on, but y'all know something happened, and we had to cancel that Sunday. And then we had the drive-ins. And we got the word out. We were feeding them. We were feeding the flock. We were had it on Facebook and YouTube, and the flock was being, but you know what? It won't the same. It won't the same. See, God knew what he was talking about when God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It won't. See, I couldn't visit my people. I couldn't go to the hospitals when they were hurting, when they had needs. I couldn't look on their face, look in their eyes, and love them and minister to them. And it broke my heart. Never had to go through that in my whole ministry. Never have. You need to pray for your pastor. And when you can, you need to step alongside of him and help him burden some of these burdens. Need to do that, because you're not doing it for the pastor, you're doing it for the cause of Christ. For the cause of Christ, the one who bore your burdens and bore your sins on that cross, you're doing it for him. I don't know how to close this. I don't know how to give an invitation. I want you to stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, God, I don't know why you wanted me to preach this. God, many that should have heard this aren't here to hear it. God, that's out of my hands. You just told me, Lord, to preach it. And Lord, I preached it. Now, God, you do something with it. Do with it, God, what's pleasing to you. What will bring glory to thy name. And God, I pray, God, you will help me. Help me to be a good pastor. I failed you so much. So many times in so many ways. Lord, help me to be a good pastor. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist plays. Whatever reason you have, we invite you to come. We invite you to come.